On February 29th, at the weekly event Sabatina of the cultural center Fresa y Chocolate in the Vedado section of the city of Havana, Dr. Jesus Arbeláez gave a talk, "Cuba and the Cuban Americans Confront the Trump Administration, to Where Will the Pendulum Swing?" Arbeláez is a well-known Cuban intellectual and former diplomat who served the Cuban diplomatic missions in the United States. Arbeláez maintained that immigration in the world today is driven by the ideological belief that the advanced capitalist economies provide the best opportunities for the satisfaction of personal material ambitions. This ideology is especially strong among the young. Cuba is a manufacturer of immigrants, Arbeláez noted, because Cuban immigrants are well received in the countries of the North in comparison to immigrants from other countries of the South. In the case of the United States, policy has been designed to stimulate immigration from Cuba. Arbeláez observed that emigration has negative consequences for Cuba. It is an important factor in the aging of the population and the insufficient percentage of workers in the life stage of productive labor. And Cuban emigration will continue to grow. However, Cuba cannot control migration in a repressive form by imposing sanctions or constructing regulatory and physical barriers. No country can control emigration or immigration, inasmuch as it is rooted in economic and ideological factors. The construction of a wall on the frontier by the Trump administration is absurd. In 1978, Fidel issued a call for dialogue between the Cuban government and the Cuban emigre community. Since that time, Cuba has sought dialogue with the Cuban emigration and negotiations with the U.S. government based on recognition that the emigration cannot be stopped, and with the intention of seeking to regulate it so that there would be a level of knowledge and control of the phenomenon. Cooperation among governments in creating an environment for safe, legal, and orderly migration has been the policy of the Cuban government since 1978. The post-1978 Cuban policy seeks to take advantage of the positive aspects of emigration for Cuba, which include economic advantages such as investment and other forms of financial and economic support for Cuba from the emigration, as well as political advantages, inasmuch as Cuban emigrants can advocate favorable policies toward Cuba from other nations. The majority of the Cuban emigration in the United States, for example, wants normal relations with Cuba. Jesus Arbeláez noted that today, 80% of Cuban emigrants live in the United States. Among them, approximately half were born in Cuba, and half have been born in the United States. But Cuban Americans, whether born in Cuba or the United States, maintain identity as Cuban Americans. This implies a Cuban American nationality, which on the one hand defines a relation with the United States, and on the other hand, implies a relation with Cuba. This is consistent with the norms in the United States, which does not have a national culture as such. It is a multicultural society formed by nationalities such as Mexican Americans, Puerto Ricans, and African Americans, in addition to Cuban Americans. There have been two stages in the Cuban emigration since the triumph of the revolution, and they form two distinct categories of the Cuban emigre community. The first is the emigration of the period 1959 to 1963, and it was composed of persons who were adversely affected by the measures of the revolution, such as the Cuban political economic elite, and to a certain extent, the middle class. The second stage began in 1980 with the Marielle boat lift, it had a character very different from the emigration of 1959 to 1962. It was an emigration of the Cuban lower social class, and it was the first migration from the revolution itself and not a reaction to it. Since that time, the Cuban emigration has been essentially an economic migration. The mass migration of 1994, for example, was a consequence of the economic hardships of the special period. During the last 20 years, Cuban emigration has had an economic motive oriented toward providing support for families in Cuba. Cuba today is reconciled to the necessity of emigration. Cuban Americans are investing in small-scale property in Cuba, going through their family in Cuba. Accordingly, the Cuban American community is an important element of Cuban economic growth. With respect to the orientation of the Cuban American community toward the Trump administration, Arbeláez observed that the Cuban American right needs an environment of hostility toward the Cuban Revolution. The Cuban counter-revolution is a lucrative business supported by foundations that in turn are supported by the U.S. government. It is a business that feeds on hostility toward the Cuban Revolution. Arbeláez noted that the Cuban American right does not make U.S. policy toward Cuba as is commonly believed. U.S. policy toward Cuba is formulated by a determined sector of the U.S. power elite. However, the Cuban American right plays an important role in providing a level of ideological justification and implementation of U.S. policy toward Cuba. Jesus Arbeláez maintains that both Trump and Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders are anti-establishment. Sanders' program does not go beyond New Deal liberalism, but he declares himself socialist in order to energize popular support for his program. He stands against the neoliberal free market policies that have been the policy of the U.S. political establishment since 1980s. And this is the reason that many of his supporters did not vote for Hillary Clinton in spite of his call to do so. Sanders, as the Democratic Party candidate, Arbeláez maintained, could defeat Trump in the 2020 election. We have to ask, who benefits from Trump's economic policies? The largest U.S. corporations do not benefit from Trump's nationalism and protectionism because they operate in a globalized world with important economic ties with companies in other nations, especially China. On the other hand, two important sectors benefit from Trump's policies. First, the petroleum companies, which benefit from the reduction of regulations for environmental protection. And secondly, the arms industry, which benefits from the significant increases in the U.S. military budget. Thus, the U.S. political elite is divided about Trump, and many would support Sanders as the candidate of the Democratic Party if he were to attain the party nomination. The talk by Arbeláez at the cultural center Fresa y Chocolate is an indication of the interest on the Cuban side of the dialogue with the Cuban emigration. We will be devoting two episodes per week of Notes on the Revolution on themes related to the Cuban emigration in anticipation of the fourth conference, The Nation and Emigration, which will take place from April 8th to April 10th in Havana. The effort to deepen the relation between Cuba and the Cuban emigration comes at a critical time in international affairs in which Cuba is playing a leading role in advocating a more sustainable world system based on cooperation and mutually beneficial trade. Since the 1970s, the Cuban emigre community has been divided between those who favor counter-revolutionary hostility and those who favor dialogue and peaceful coexistence. In the context of the current international situation, is it possible that a third option can be discussed in the April conference? A third option that appreciates the significance of the Cuban Revolution in pointing the way toward a sustainable future for humanity. Can we imagine the possibility of Cuban American youth today, inspired by the example of the country of their parents and grandparents, leading the U.S. left toward an alternative to both the neoliberalism and soft imperialism of the U.S. political establishment and the aggressive imperialism and right-wing nationalism and neo-fascism of Trump? This is Charles McKelvey reflecting on the unfolding global popular socialist revolution forged by our peoples in defense of humanity.